Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to Whiplash Talk. This is Sunshine, your host. It is a beautiful day and I am so excited to get this show going. I did not know last time I had my show going that I was going to have these amazing guests with me. So you guys have a big surprise. I have Down and Dirty with Idaho Beau and Vivacious Vic on with me today, and we're going to talk everything down and dirty, everything from what are you putting in your garden to how do you ferment cabbage and make sauerkraut. We're going to cover it all, and I just want to tell you guys, I'm excited to tell you a little bit about their show first. I'll tell you a little bit about each one of them, and then we'll get going. So Idaho Beau and Vivacious Vic are on every Sunday at 2 p.m. Pacific time. So that's 2, 3, 4 p.m. Central time. And they do a deep dive into the art of organic gardening, sustainable living, and the magic of plants. I love plants. From homesteading and foraging to food preservation, plant alchemy, and crafting medicinal and beauty products. I want to talk about that. Because there ain't anything on the market that's good for us. So it's got it all. So they're going to have recipes and fermentation tips that I want to learn and all of that one fun and wonderful stuff. Excuse me, I have to cough. Excuse me. So there are other things that I want to talk about. I do electroculture in my raised beds and in my garden. So I'm excited to talk about that. So it's just going to be kind of this it's this conglomeration of three ladies that love to get their hands dirty and love to get dirt under their fingernails, and we're just going to go after it. So I met Idaho Beau through some friends, and we've talked a little bit behind the scenes, and we've bonded over her little lily dog and my little wee woo kitten. And but I do not know Vivacious Vic at all, so we're going cold turkey here on this one. It's like Vic and I were like, okay, I hope she likes me because here we go. So I just want to tell you guys.
Like you already.
Oh, okay. I just want to tell you guys, these ladies have got like resumes that are like, oh my gosh, master gardener this and green thumb that. And, you know, my goodness, all the certifications. Maybe I'll just let them say a little bit about themselves if they so choose. But we can talk everything from chickens to goats to frogs to toads to everything and squash bugs. Girls, I do not like me some squash bugs. Those things are evil from the pit of hell. I'm just saying right now. So let's get going, girls. Welcome to Whiplash Talk.
You want to go Thank first, Vic? Why don't you go first?
Sure. Well, you had me at frogs, okay? Because I've got this little frog. A little cute little pond, and you know, with a liner in it and everything in my backyard. Mm-hmm. And I've had it for like almost 10 years. Wow. Last year, the frogs came and they mated like you can't believe when they call in boys and girls and yep. what they do. Oh my gosh. And they're back this year, full force.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to, the first time in my life, watch this whole progression from egg to these wow. little tiny, mm-hmm. they kind of look like sperm, but they got yep. this little tiny tail.
Tadpoles.
Tadpoles, yeah.
And then they grow this mm-hmm. huge head. Mm-hmm. And I watched it. It happened all April, May, June, and then they're big enough, they become a frog big enough, and they leave in July. And it is so fascinating. But one thing, frogs, what else? Bats and bees. Those three things are yeah. huge harbingers of the health of the environment in which they are existing or what they gravitate to. So it's an honor, I'm saying, to have Thanks. These frogs, because it shows that environment is really, really healthy. And yeah. that's a badge of honor for an organic gardener to be able to say that.
When I lived in Washington State, we lived next to a pond, and I grew up in the panhandle of Texas. And so everything's dry and, you know, the soil's cracked and the trees grow like they lean over to one side because that's the way the wind blows. And so we didn't have a lot of, we had horny toads, but we didn't have a lot of frogs. And so I didn't know the frog song. I didn't know it. And one night I'm like, what is it? It was beautiful. I'm like, what is that? And that's when I learned about frogs. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I just love to sit outside and just hear them sing. So yeah, I understand what you're talking about.
Yeah. Mo, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Mo, tell me what's up.
Well, I do not have a pond. I live in an apartment complex and I was house sitting up at my niece's house about half hour north of me up in the mountains on a lake last week for a whole week. And the frogs sang every night. And about 6 years ago now, I can't believe it, 2019, I was a volunteer at a SETI ranch that, you know, we've all talked about a little bit. And James has a pond, a quite large pond there. And the frog song to sing you to sleep. And what Vicky said about it indicating a very healthy environment is so true. I do not have a pond. However, I started working in my garden. I cleared all the piles and piles of sunflower seeds that decided to sprout that I had fed the birds all winter. And the leaves that I mulched my pots with.
Right.
And bringing in some plants, more plants, and, you know, plant seeds is, it's only 45 here. So it's, you know, I still have a little ways to go before I could put my tomatoes, et cetera, in.
Right.
But I was out on my patio yesterday and I saw my first bee. And I have a little story about the bee. I homeschool my granddaughter, and when the weather's nice enough, I love to sit out on my little patio balcony area. Vic's been here. She knows what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And every day when I'm online talking or teaching my granddaughter, we do it via Zoom, I have a bee that comes and she just flies around me. I've gotten her honey and I named her Bee Bee. I read an article yesterday that said bees only live 40 days. I swear, you guys, this is the same bee. So I think it's a fairy bee. And Q was just talking about his last show on Timelines about frogs. They're elementals. They can go in and out of the dimensions. And I swear this little bee, I called her BB. I'm very original.
Sweet.
But yeah. So there you go.
That's really sweet. So you guys are both in the Idaho area?
Yes. I'm in Coeur d'Alene in North.
Okay.
And Vicky's down in Boise in the south. And I lived in Boise for 35 years. And that's where I met Vicky and we became fast friends. We have so much in common and we have so many adventures that we talked a little bit about on our first show, which was last week. And we even look similar. People ask us all the time if we're sisters.
And you say yes.
We are sisters. Oh, yeah. We are sisters.
Exactly. Okay, so you guys are planning out, I'm sure, you're planning out your spring planting. So for people that are coming on your show, do you even go over what you're planning on planting? Do you say how you planted, what seeds you use, where you get your seeds? Tell me a little bit more about how you guys go about helping people on your show.
Last week was our first show, so we concentrated on soil, how to choose a place to plant a garden, and you know, really paying attention to the soil aspect.
And
it didn't go too much into what has been planted or the timing of getting things in, but I can speak personally that I have a very large garden in my backyard and I live next door to my daughter. So we co-garden and share produce and whatever. But to answer the seed question, I grow a lot of my own seeds of things that I would have every single year. The greens, lettuce, spinach, chard, kale. We collect all those seeds ourselves because we allow a certain amount of those plants to go to seed. And then those seeds become acclimated to our soil, our, you know, we're not getting a package that was raised in Missouri or, you know, Montana or something. Right. So there's a really beautiful synergy in doing that. Mm-hmm. And then I trade seeds. I just had a girlfriend come who lives in the western part of the state, and mm-hmm. she brought her packets of seed. We trade. It's in most places that are agriculturally oriented or where there's a lot of personal gardeners, they have seed exchanges, which is so wonderful to do that. Mm-hmm. So I do a lot of that, and I plant my own starts, and a lot of them are almost ready to go out.
Nice. Now, do you keep a third, yeah. plant a third, give away a third? Is that, do you keep, how do you do that of your seeds?
Well, I actually have CSA clients who purchase produce from me every week once everything is up and going. Mm-hmm. So that changes every week, every month, you know, every season. Mm-hmm. And of course I feed myself, my family, and then I sell the produce as a CSA grower.
Right.
And preserve.
Right. I was asking Vicki about your seeds. So since you grow and retain and save your seeds, a lot of people I know will keep a third of what you harvested, plant a third of what you harvested, and give away a third, trade a third.
Well, that's probably very close. I have never really divided it up like that, but that's more scientific than I ever am. I think that's a very, very fair assessment because of the trading and keeping and then planting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very smart. Mm-hmm. Well, do you start your own stuff?
Oh, do yes. Sorry.
No, you're that's fine. Okay.
Go ahead.
When I had about an acre of land, I can't remember who I was talking to about this last night, but I used to start my seeds in my guest bedroom. And I had a really good grow light that my ex-husband at one point in time used for something to grow illicit, but we won't even go there. But I turned it into my vegetable starting operation. Mm. And I would fertilize with fish emulsion, which is quite stinky. And he hated it. But boy, did the plants love it. Like I said, I don't have a garden now. I have had community garden spots since I've lived in Coeur d'Alene. I've been here. This is my fifth summer. Mm-hmm. A couple years I had community garden spots that my sister and I shared. She lived closer to it, so she was basically my watering guru, and I did the rest. But I don't have one this year, and it's kind of like a lease. You pay yearly for a spot in a mm-hmm. community garden. I mm-hmm. almost did, but something intuitively said, don't do that yet. And I'm so busy right now with this show. And then I'm on another BBS show called Sojourns, mm-hmm. plus teaching and the new puppy. So I'm glad I listened to my heart, but I do grow everything. I have strawberries, tomatoes, mm-hmm. chives. I have all kinds of herbs, which mm-hmm. I use a lot of those in my beauty products. And I have so many tomatoes, I have to give them away. I still, even though I don't have a big property, I'm still giving away to my neighbors, which they're very grateful for.
Yes.
That's nice.
That's really good. So people listening to your show, Down and Dirty with Idaho Bo and Vivacious Vic, So when they're listening, Vic has a very large plot of land to grow on, and Bo, you're working off of a patio. So I love that you guys are able to help people realize, you know, you can get the rototiller and the tractor out, or you can just, you can grow some herbs and you can grow your favorite, you know, tomatoes, and you can grow some lettuce and some spinach and some kale, and just, you can have a beautiful thing right there on your patio. So I love that you guys have that. And then, Bo, you've also grown on big plots as well. So you guys have this deep knowledge on how to help people grow something no matter where they are. And I love that. Absolutely love that. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about, so if we're going to, we're going into spring, what do you do? Here, I'm in the Midwest, and so I've always joked on my show about anything that can be venomous is, anything that can be poisonous is, anything that's a bioengineered tea flick chigger is here. Everything that could possibly be here, squash bugs from the pit of hell themselves, I think they're armor plated. It's just crazy, everything that can creep, crawl, bite has made it to this area. So I'm one of those that I don't like to use chemicals. Diatomaceous earth is a good friend of mine. Love that. But what do you guys tell people, a new gardener? Because a new gardener, they can get so excited and they can plant all of this stuff, and they may not know about companion planting, and they may not understand that marigolds can be your best friend, even though maybe you don't like the smell. Well, the bugs don't either, you know, that kind of thing. What do you do to help a new gardener not get overwhelmed, but really have a successful first season, so that way they're a gardener for life? And I'll go to Vicki first on this one. Go ahead, Vicki.
That's a really, really good and important question. And I do a lot of companion planting for that reason, because of the different chemicals in each plant that enhance the ability for them to protect themselves and thrive. Right. And yeah, the marigolds are very good. The squash bugs live in the soil, so they'll come back. So you need to they'll come back if you plant your squash in the same place every year. So you want to move things around a little bit for that particular bug. I am a very good friend of diatomaceous earth myself. It's a little tricky with watering, because as soon as you water, it goes away. So you've got to get out there at night when you know, the night feeders, the earwigs, the sow bugs, the snails, and the slugs, you know, you've got to get out there and get ahead of that. I have time to go out and pick up slugs and snails. I don't really have time to go out. And so the sow bugs and stuff, there's a thing called Sluggo that does not, it's not, I use that religiously, because I have such a problem with earwigs and the slugs.
So,
you know, you got to kind of figure out what you can afford, how much time you spend. The Sluggo works really good.
And Have you ever used beer for slugs? I did that in Washington State and it worked.
Do what? Beer? Oh, yeah. You can put little, tuna fish cans or little saucers. Yes.
At least they die happy.
I know, right? I know. What a way to go, right?
You know, if you don't mind me jumping in here for a second, Vicki, I know that, and you mentioned it too, Sunshine, that you use electroculture, and that actually helps with pests as well as bringing in the ethers too. So there's a lot of things you can do. The squash bugs, they say when you first notice the eggs on the back of a squash leaf to pick them off. When my last year in the community garden, we were inundated. Somebody must have brought them in on a plant, you know, like a start that they bought in nursery or wherever they got it. And that the whole, everybody's squash was affected. And like Vic said, they do live in the ground, but the electroculture, you're bringing the ethers from the air all the way down into the ground. So it it's an excellent form of gardening that they've been doing for ages. It helps with your seed germination. It helps with your start, the vegetable starts growing, their growth rate, and also in your production of fruit and vegetables. It is miraculous, and it's really easy to do, and we will be talking about it on our show.
Good, good. I actually, Bo, you heard about the person in my life, Bill, that was in my life in the past, and he is the one that turned me on to that, and he actually took some PVC pipe. And we actually wound it up. We made them 5 foot high, and we wound it up that as kind of a template to hold it in place. We get high winds here. So, and then we put like a little antenna on top. So I've got the little ones that I put by each plant, you know, just the little curly cues by each plant out of my copper wire. But that one that went up tall, That was a game changer, because it's actually getting up higher and getting more, higher and getting more energy. But I also believe it pulls the energy out of the ground too. I think it helps kind of pull from both, you know, and I'm like, because the soil has energy too. As we all know, the soil is alive.
Yes.
And I was impressed. I had a tree that it's a trident maple, and they're a little finicky, and my trunk split up towards the top, of course, because it got sunburned. It got too hot, and that happens here. And so I was watching it, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to move one of those out of my raised beds, the tall ones on the PVC. I moved over there by my tree, and it just started healing so beautifully from the inside out on that crack. You could just see it healing, and I'm like, oh my goodness, this stuff really works. My birds love them. The birds love to be on them. I had a orb weaver that was all up in that. Like, oh, I am so building my big old beautiful web right between these two. So it was kind of, I had to be careful where I was walking, or else I was going to end up with an orb weaver, you know, spider web right in the middle of my hair. Yeah, my hair. Oh my God. Yeah, that would be traumatic. I would be like, oh, there's an orb weaver in my hair. But I'm a big fan.
I got and turned on when I was living in Baja the last 5 years, out of this last six, I was there for 5 years, and I got familiar with the electroculture, and it's amazing. And you were so correct in it has to be grounded into the earth, because the synergy, exactly what you're saying, it has to be grounded in, and the energy moves both directions.
Yes.
It pulls down the ether into the ground, and it grounds it so that everything is completely balanced. I can't wait to have our show about electroculture. It is an amazing tool, and it also helps to retain it helps to retain water, and it repels pests. It creates an environment, like you're saying, for everything to be in harmony. That's what we're creating by bringing that ether down. One other thing I do want to say about the ether, it's the fifth element, and they've eliminated it from our schooling. What do you think that's all about? So to be able to harness that energy that is free, it is so is amazing. So thank you for bringing that topic up.
Absolutely,
it's Tesla energy in essence.
Yes,
and I also wanted to tell all your listeners, Sunshine, that You can also use these electrical, they're called antennas, mm-hmm. in your pots. Mm-hmm. You can use them in your, I know my friend Zaya, that's on Sojourns with me, she mm-hmm. started using them in her houseplants. And mm-hmm. they're also, you could put crystals on the top of them as the top of the antenna. Mm-hmm. And they look nice. Really cool in your garden.
Nice. And
also, I have, in my research, I've read that it's really good to use sticks or twigs, if you will, mm-hmm. from your local area as the piece of wood or whatever you wrap your wire around.
Nice.
The PVC pipe, that's great that it worked. But it's just that, again, it's that synergy of everything that's natural. Already in your area is working together. The only tip that I can give you is if you do that, just put a little hydrogen peroxide on there to make sure you're not introducing any bacteria or anything into your garden.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, that is really, really good. And it'll look beautiful too, because it'll have that natural look to it. I've always liked doing peas on natural wood tripods and stuff like that.
Just
to get that natural look. But I'm 110% into that. I love, even going into grounding. We're always grounding when we're playing in the dirt, but I just really, really firmly believe in that energetic level. And Vic, you just preached me and Bo happy about when you brought up the fifth dimension. We're like, whoop, whoop, whoop.
Yeah,
I wonder why they're hiding that. Yeah, the fifth element. Yeah, I'm like, what? No, they wouldn't do that.
They wouldn't do that.
No.
they don't want us to be enlightened by the ether, which...
Okay, guys. I Vicky knows me. I feel a song coming on. He will not sing it. Although maybe someday, Sunshine, you and I can sing together, but by the fifth dimension called Up, Up, and Away.
Yes.
I don't know if you're old enough, Sunshine, but I know Vicky remembers that.
That's funny. That's hilarious. Yeah, I remember the fifth dimension. We're all showing our age, ladies.
Hey. It's okay. Wisdom.
It's wisdom. It's total wisdom. Yes. Sweet. Okay. So I love the plant-powered sass. I wrote this down. Paul Wallace is a guy that I'm trying to get on the show to interview, and he was an Episcopalian priest to the priests. So he was at the top and he was their priest. He was who they went to when they had to work through things and that kind of thing. And then all of a sudden a light switch went on for him. I'm going to get back to gardening, I promise. But a light switch went back on for him. And he was like, okay, when you're reading the Bible, it has ET mentions of ET all through it, extraterrestrials. And I'm like, oh, you're kind of my kind of man. And so I started listening to him. And I was listening to a video of him recently, and he said, sunshine to plants, that's what love is to consciousness. And I'm like, wow, because we know how important sunshine is to plants.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that was so good. And so I'm coming to you guys and I'm going to ask, okay, what's your secret? I talk to my plants. I'm just going to throw it out there. I talk to them all. I hug my trees. I tell my flowers how pretty they are. I talk to the bugs when I have to get rid of them and say, I'm sorry. I gave you notice. I do. I get my bugs and like bunnies notice. I tell my bunnies, I have little baby bunnies that were in my garden that were eating some of my plants. And I said, okay, you can eat some, but you can't eat all, you have to leave me some. And then I planted a whole big patch of clover for them. I had to go to a neighbor's house to get it because I don't have clover in my yard. So I planted a big patch of clover for the bunnies. And I put a little baby, like concrete bunny in there. Like, okay, this is yours. You can eat that. And they never mowed down. I never came home from work and my garden was completely mowed down. But I talk to my critters and I do tell the bugs, like, okay, you got a day. You got to go. Or I'm going to take matters into my own hands. So, okay, it's confession time. You guys talk to your plants?
Definitely. I sing to them. I've been a tree hugger since I was a little girl, and I never stopped.
Right.
So have you Have either of you heard of a place in Scotland? Oh, shoot. The name just... come back to me because it just went out. You know, I must be in the moment because I totally forgot.
Right? Okay, be in the moment. I'm going to go to Vic and ask her about talking to her plants, but write it down so we don't forget. Okay, Vic, tell me what you do with your
Yes.
plants.
Well, I do talk to my plants, not necessarily out loud. Uh-huh. I do. I mean, of course I have dialogue going on all the time. And to address the sharing with the critters, mm-hmm. I know that I'm not going to get every bug, and it's not my intention, because they do help do things in the garden. But if it's out of balance, it's just too much. So I overplant. Because I know that when those first little things come up, a lot of them are going to get eaten, but not all of them. So that's one way that I become more generous in my garden with the harmony of the balance of all the little beings that live in the soil and in the trees and on the grass and everywhere. Right. So that's one thing that I do is I overplant, because I know, A, all the seeds aren't going to sprout. And if they do all sprout, then I'm going to have a better harvest because the bugs or the birds, because the birds love fresh green, aren't going to get everything.
Right.
And then,
right.
You know, yeah. And so yeah. I'm constantly amazed at what I learn about the seasons, and about there's always one or two bugs that dominate a season, and you never see one the next year. It's so weird, the cycling of these little beings. They have their cycle, like we have our cycles, where one year, oh my God, you're just gung ho, and the next year it's like, I'm not really that interested. And so I think more than talking to mm-hmm. everything, I listen more to them.
Oh, that's good. You know what? And Bo, it's Findhorn.
Yeah, I know. Findhorn.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Findhorn. Oh, Findhorn. Findhorn.
Sorry. Yes. So do you know the story of Findhorn?
I know a little bit about it. I think it was Zosha that just told me about it, if I'm not mistaken. But so Vic, I'm going to say one thing real quick, and it's going to go to you, Bo.
Okay.
Did you know that there's two parts of communication? There's speaking and listening should be like 99%, and communication should be like 1%. So you're spot on. Okay, go, Bo.
Yes, and also you can just communicate from your heart, right?
Exactly.
To Findhorn, I grew up in Southern California, and I moved to Idaho the first time in 1980. And I befriended this woman who had a lovely little bookstore. Mm. And she turned me on to Osho, who back then in those days was called Bhagwan Rajneesh.
Right.
But while I was perusing her shelves, I found a book on Findhorn. So I bought the book, and it spoke about this threesome. There was a husband and wife and their friend. And they managed these great hotels up in northern Scotland, and they were really successful at one. So they got transferred to another one, and that one didn't do so well. So they all got canned. Mm-hmm. So what to do? They bought a travel trailer, and they went to this area near the northwest coast of Scotland, and they decided they're going to put in a little garden. You know, it's pretty sandy soil. And they weren't especially gardeners or anything. You know, a lot of Brits do have a little garden, but they mm-hmm. weren't any great gardeners. And the friend, I believe her name was Dorothy, would go out to the plants every day and just sit in the garden. And she calls them the divas of each plant. So the essence or the plant being, the consciousness of the plant would mm-hmm. tell her exactly what they needed as far as water, as far as nutrients. They became famous because they were growing 40-pound cabbages. And this was years ago, and now it's one of the biggest eco villages in the entire world. It's very famous for that. But that's how they started, because one woman paid attention to her plants and sat and would speak with her plants.
That is so good. When I lived in Alaska, we had a place called the Matanuska-Susitna Valley, and very, very fertile. Of course, colder growing season up there. You know, we're not going to be growing, you know, thousands and thousands of tomatoes. You can grow them up there, but you have to know what you're doing. But to grow cabbage and potatoes and carrots and that kind of crop, oh my gosh, you talk about some of the big cabbages that were like hundreds of pounds. You know, you go to the fair and there's the biggest cabbage that won, you know. But it was not uncommon. You could go buy like a 20 or 30 pound bag of carrots and a 50 pound bag of potatoes. And then you'd go back and, you know, it's 10 bucks, 15 bucks back in the day. And you'd go and like, okay, here's your potatoes family. Here's your carrots family. And you just divvy up. One would buy a bag of potatoes and one would buy a bag of carrots. And because you're not going to be able to get through them unless you're canning. And so it was amazing. Some of the most luscious, wonderful carrots and potatoes there. And on a side note, kind of going off of what you were talking about, your grow light, history of the grow light. That is a place where if people are familiar with what you were talking about back in the day, there was a play on words on a particular crop that was grown up there, and they grew it every year, and it was catnip, but it was, they called it Thunderstruck, and that's the name of the catnip. Other people are probably laughing that know the other name of the other product. And so when they would harvest that, and they would put the catnip, you know, they would harvest it, and they would till the soil under, all the cats from the neighborhood would be just sitting in the field, like, what the hell? Where did it go? They lost their eyes. So it was really super funny, but. Yeah, so Matanuska Thunderstruck is what they called it. And it was some of the best catnip here.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Okay. Yeah, so funny. Okay, so I have a question. My grandfather was an amazing kraut maker. He would make the most crispity, crunchity, super delicious, actually had some salt to it. You know, it was good, a really good kraut. And it wasn't crispy just because you put it in the fridge. He literally made crispy kraut. And of course, we didn't get the recipe. He would make it in my grandmother's, oh Lord. He would make it in my grandmother's front, you know, guest bathroom in the bathtub. It was an older house. And so it had the bigger, deeper bathtub. Oh, you know where this is going.
Yes.
And of course, that odor is just so lovely. And, you know, he was so proud, and he had these big crocks in there, and he had his little, you know, wooden pounder, and he'd be in there pounding the, you know, working the kraut. But none of us complained. We knew better because we loved his kraut so much. I will tell you this though, his catfish stew was dangerous. We were all like, Mom, please don't make us go to Grandma's house. Please don't make us go eat, because Grandpa was making catfish stew and Grandma would invite us over, because if she didn't, she'd be eating catfish stew for weeks. And she's like, please come help me. Please come help me. That was the only thing he ever made that was absolutely disgusting. It was horrible. But yes, so there's a way to make, I have half gallon jars that I can make kraut in just the jar. I do have a crock, but I could make it in the jars and not have to do it in the crock.
Right.
Do tell. Right.
I do have a crock. Mm-hmm. I did teach Lauren from Unstoppable Love how to make sauerkraut, and she bought these lids where it would pass the air. Yes, but the kit did not come with glass weights, and everything molded for her. Mm-hmm. So that's the importance, is you have to be able to weigh down the whatever mm-hmm. you're fermenting. If you're fermenting pickles, if you're fermenting peppers, whatever you ferment, you have mm-hmm. to make sure that everything is submerged underneath the brine. When you're making sauerkraut, mm-hmm. The first time I made sauerkraut, my girlfriend and I grew so much cabbage. It was Carol Ravick. We were making it in these 10-gallon tubs. Mm-hmm. And I was the one that got to massage the cabbage, because all it is cabbage and salt.
Right.
You can add caraway seeds. You can add shredded carrots or whatever, but it's just shredded cabbage and salt, and you have to get the right combination of the two, you know, right. Like salt to cabbage.
Mm-hmm.
But the important thing is to make sure that it is submerged beneath the brine. It mm-hmm. takes, depending on the temperature that you started in, I prefer making mine, for one reason, it's harvest time,
right.
Late summer, early fall, because it's still not too cold. I tried another batch of it during the winter, and it got mold. Even though it was submerged, I didn't have a warm enough, my house wasn't warm enough.
Yeah, got it.
So,
yeah. Interesting.
I mean, we'll give those kind of recipes. We're going to put recipes for different canning recipes, fermentation recipes. We're gonna put all that stuff on our page.
I love that.
I have to shop
your page. Go ahead, Vic.
No, I was just gonna say that I don't have a ton of experience with making the kraut. However, mm-hmm. I did learn it from Bo,
mm-hmm.
and it's super easy. When you know, have the right temperature mm-hmm. environment.
Right.
And I'm telling you, it was delicious and it was crispy.
See?
It was crispy because, well, for one reason, you know, you buy the sauerkraut in the store. Well, it's cooked. So,
it's
of
cooked.
Course, the cabbage,
yep.
the cabbage is going to get, you know, soggy. But yep. when you make that, I just put it in a dark cupboard mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. my kitchen, and yeah. this was in Baja, so almost always warm enough there.
Good,
but
yeah.
oh, it is so good
mm-hmm.
and good,
so
for
good for you.
Yeah,
oh,
well, probiotics. It's got
yeah.
Yeah.
All fermented foods do. I love fermented foods, and. You know, you don't get drunk off them either, like you do some other types of fermented foods.
I like those
correct.
Fermented foods too. But those are good fermented
foods. I do too.
Yeah.
So I taught Vic how to make a SCOBY, which stands for symbiotic culture of bacteria and yeast, which is the catalyst for making kombucha.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Vic sells her kombucha. I'm on the sunshine train. I barter my kombucha for my nephew's chicken's eggs.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's so many fermented foods, and it's so much fun too. If you like being in the kitchen, stay tuned to our show.
Nice. Right now I have some Madagascar vanilla bean vanilla that I'm making. I have a 2-year batch
Ooh,
going,
nice.
And that will be done. And it's a pint, so you know I'll probably divvy it up into smaller containers.
Nice.
But I have those going. Those will be done in October, and then I've done it to where you have to use more beans. But I've done it to where I've done like a 2-month batch where I needed gifts to get them done quickly. So I've got that. But I will tell you guys, I'm really interested. I'm going to be listening to your show because. This Christmas, you know, I work, Bo knows, I work a lot of hours, but I'm creative. I want to do something. And I bought all my beeswax
yes.
and I bought extra essential oils that I wanted to use for certain things, for like a little, like a perfume, but like a, what am I looking for? Like a sachet, you know what I mean? Kind of to where it's got the beeswax and. But it's scented, but you can put it on your wrist or whatever, just to have a nice little fragrance,
nice.
Or whatever.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
and my favorite signature together, I love bergamot and lemongrass.
Oh,
and so I
two of my faves.
Nice.
I love
right?
that.
Yes,
yeah.
two of my faves.
Yay! Yeah. And so I call that like my sunshine mix, my favorite sunshine mix. And so I was going to put those all together, and I was being so industrious, and like I didn't even melt anything. the bottles are still sealed. I'm like, yeah, I'll do that next week. Because I got something to
do. Well, it doesn't go bad. That's one.
It doesn't go bad, right? So guess what everybody's getting for Christmas? Woo! Which we don't, you know, what. So, but I'm super interested also. I know we've got a few minutes left. I'm really interested also in the beauty products as well and how you grow your herbs and transition that into as well, because I'll be 61 in July and I love taking care of my skin, and something I'm really having a hard time finding, just so you guys know, I've used flaxseed spray on my naturally curly hair in very humid conditions and it's worked beautifully, but I cannot find one that is not made by a big maker that, one, costs a fortune, and two, who knows what the heck is in it. And so that's the one thing I'm looking to kind of find. So I will be a test subject if anybody wants to jump off into that or teach me how to make it. I'll be a test subject on that.
Is it an oil?
It was a flaxseed spray. So it was more of a water base.
Okay.
Spray.
I will look into that for you.
I've never heard of flaxseed spray.
I haven't either. Yeah.
And it's more like a spray on gel. They kind of use it as a spray on gel. And since curly hair, the hair shaft on curly hair is more like scales on a fish, as opposed to
you're talking to two curly headed girls.
Oh my god!
Curly hair.
So you guys know. So yeah, I have to make sure in moist areas where I live, I have to make sure that I seal my hair, or else I look like Bo's lion on her. I look like a male lion. So, you know, I have a big mane. So
you're probably Lyran. That's why.
There you go.
So,
in a gel, mm-hmm. they must put some oil in there.
There's got to be some in there, because you can't
My granddaughter is, well, I'm Irish and German, mm-hmm. Scotch, Irish and German. My ex-husband is from El Salvador. So my daughter is a mix of that. And then my youngest granddaughter is half black. And so she's got the combination hair, but it's mostly like black hair, isn't it, Vic? Wouldn't you say?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
She just uses
very coarse
argan oil on her hair.
Yeah.
Yes.
Way too oily for me. I have baby fine hair. I have crap tons of it.
I have
baby fine hair. So I have to make sure
oil. You have to have something lighter.
Oil just spray me down. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll check
it
out
for you. You know,
as far as your original question, yes. I do grow a lot of my herbs that I use in my beauty products. I also do a lot of foraging of wild plants. Sustainably. I make skincare products, and what I do is I will infuse the oils in olive oil for 5 weeks, and then again I'll use a beeswax, either shea or tallow. I used tallow this last time. It's a little more greasy than the shea. I'd love to send you some sunshine.
Yeah,
we'll talk offline.
Yeah, we'll talk offline. We'll do energetic training here. But yes, so I know there's got to be a lot of people out there that have hundreds of questions for you guys. And I know we're kind of coming up towards the end. We've got just a few minutes left. Tell me, I know I said, you know, when you guys are on air and all of that, but tell me kind of how your show goes. I know it's on Sundays at 2 p.m. Pacific, so 3 p.m. Mountain, 4 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. on Eastern. So I'll just give to everybody. But when you do your deep dive, do you know where you're going? Like, you guys say, okay, let's talk about this week, and then off you go. And then do you announce it ahead of time, or is it just more of a fly by the seat of your pants? This was kind of fun. Like, I loved what we did, but this is kind of fun. Tell me what your show, how do people know to find you? And you're an hour show, correct? Because I listened to it. It was an hour. Yeah. Yeah.
So I've got something to say.
Say it, girl.
Bo has a list, a long list of topics, right? And she, I think on the first show, she mentioned, well, I've got 24 topics. And I said, that's a whole year worth of shows right there. So we kind of plan, and because we're so much about the gardening and the seasonal stuff, this next show, I think we were going to kind of try to concentrate more on what's going on right now in the season for people who are really just getting ready to plant a garden. If they, and we like to try to be regional specific for certain things. I mean, you know what I mean? Because, and, but I'll just leave it at that because it just cracked me up. She goes, well, I've got 24 things listed here. Just like, okay, we're going to be off on all kinds of places.
Yes. I do want to throw this out there for everybody. Just since this is on my show real quick, I'll do it really fast. I always talk about my cats. Wee Woo hurt herself earlier today. She was jumping off the table onto what was going to be a plate of food. So I caught her and kind of drifted her the other way, and she landed bad on her right rear hip, leg, foot. So all of that positive energy for Wee Woo would be greatly appreciated. So there you go. Okay, Mo, tell me, what do you think? We've got 4 minutes to go, guys. Let's wrap it up. Tell me your closing thoughts, and let's get you guys launched off and doing your show so beautifully. I loved your show.
Oh, thank you.
That's wonderful.
Thank you so much for inviting us, Sunshine.
Absolutely.
I absolutely adore you. And we have our next show next Sunday, and we are going to pre-record it. I was going to try to get down to Boise that weekend because my birthday's next week, and I'll be 71. But that ain't going to happen this time. We'll probably go down for the next show, which will be May 3rd, and we're going to try to go live, and we've got hopefully a great guest that we could bring on at some point. Q said he might come on, that he'd like to come on. And Dawn, one of the owners of BBS, is a great canner and gardener, and he said he'd like to come on. So we've got plans, and we're talking about planting a garden, like Vicki said, on our next show. We are pre-recording it, though. However, when we go live, we'd love to take calls, question and answer, and we'll probably move into going live a little bit more after we get our feet a little bit more down and dirty.
That was good. Vic, what do you got? Something, and then I'll close it out on the last minute.
And I just want to say I'm brand new to BBS Radio because of Bo inviting me. And so it's a pleasure to meet you. And I am very grateful for getting this exposure, because it's just a whole new format of information and being able to help people is really what we're all about, you know? And so I'm very grateful.
Absolutely. You know,
So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Bo. It's my pleasure. I just am so excited about you guys joining here and then doing something that is so needed on BBS Radio. We love to diversify. As a BBS family, we love to diversify and put product out there for people to use and to grow and to learn from. And as you know, BBS Radio, we don't tell anybody what they can or cannot say. You bring it and they will air it. And this is something that is so needed out there. And I am honored that you guys would let me have you on my show and be a part of your launching of your show. It's going to be here for quite a while. I'm super excited. So, we're getting shuffled off to Buffalo. So I'm going to say my goodbyes. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And Bo and Vicki, say your goodbyes, and we'll tell everybody we love them, and we'll pitch it to Q. All right, guys.
Goodbye.
Thank you so much. Have us back anytime. Bye.
Bye. We'll be right back.
Thank you.